So good evening, all dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So since last few weeks, we have been studying about the memorial meditation. So we have studied till page number 6, the import of the emblems. So this week, we'll continue from page number 6, right-hand side, first paragraph, the apostles. So Gopal brother, can you read?
Okay, brother.
Okay.
The apostle, by divine revelation, communicates to us a further meaning of the bread and shows that not only did the loaf represent Jesus individually as our head, etc., but that after we have partaken thus of him, we may, by consecration, by associated with him as parts of one loaf, one body, to be broken for and become food for the world. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter verse 16. The same thought of our privilege as justified believers sharing now in the sufferings and death of Christ, and thus becoming joint heirs with him of future glories, and associates in the work of blessing and giving life to all the families of the earth, is expressed by the apostles repeatedly and under various figures. But when he compares the church to the loaf now being broken as a whole, as Jesus was individually, it furnishes a striking and forcible illustration of our union and fellowship with our head.
Thank you, Buddha. So here, as we studied last week, so the bread represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself mentions in John 6 chapter saying that he is the bread which cometh from heaven. So Jesus Christ, you see, is the bread. But not only that one, this bread actually has another meaning also, additional meaning. Now what is that one? That is given to us in 1 Corinthians 10 chapter 16th verse. Can somebody read 1 Corinthians 10, 16? Muna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. 1 Corinthians 10, 16, brother.
Yeah.
The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?
Very good. So bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So here if you say, what is that word communion? So generally the word communion, everybody thinks that it's the bread and wine that usually we take in the churches. But here, that word communion has got a, you see, greater meaning. That means common union. You see, that is the short form communion. So the common union of you see, the body of Christ with the head as a Jesus Christ. That is the common, you see, the commonness, the oneness, you see. And Jesus also prayed, no, in John 17 chapter, Father, even as we are one, I pray that the church may be one with us. So, here it speaks about the oneness, you see, of the church along with Christ. So, this bread individually or primarily represents our Lord, our Master, Lord Jesus Christ. But additionally, next, the secondary meaning is that it also represents the entire church, the entire consecrated class of people, you see, who are become the body members of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, you see, when the bread was broken, that signifies, you see, the sacrificial life of Jesus Christ. His life was broken for us, you see. He broke his life, he sacrificed his life, you see, so that we may get life. So similarly, you see, the church, the body members of Jesus Christ, as the head was broken, you see, the body members also have to be broken, you see, sacrificed in the Lord's service, you see, broken for the brethren's sake, broken for the sake of Christ, you see. So that is what is a secondary meaning of this bread. Okay, now let us continue next chapter. Who will read? Amar brother or Munna sister?
He says, because there is one loaf, we may are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The loaf which we break, is it not a participation of the body of the anointed one? 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 16, 17.
Continue, continue, our brother. Continue.
The wine represents the life given the sacrifice that death. This is my blood, symbol of life given of in death of the new covenant, said for many for the remissions of sin. Drink ye all it. Matthew 16, chapter 16, 27 and 28 verse.
Thank you, brother. So here, you see, Apostle Paul gives a more elaborate, explanation that, the one loaf, though it's been many persons, it is one loaf, And even the grape wine, though it is made of many grapes, yet the wine is never called as grapes wine. It is called as grape wine in a plural, not in a plural sense, but in a singular sense. Just see, there's a wonderful, beautiful meaning here. Well, the wheat are being gathered of all the churches. Those are the precious grains. Those are grained and made into a wheat flour. But when wheat is there, the individuality is maintained. Each in persons have an individual identity. Not all the grains are equal. Each and every person has a different character. A different identification. Altogether, every person are different. But when they are crushed together, when they are grind together and made a powder as a flour, it is common. There is no way that you can identify that it's made of a particular wheat grain. So that is what here Apostle Paul is saying, that even though there are diversified, language, people, various places, everything is there, we should be one in Christ, the one name, the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, So one, that oneness of mind should be there. And similarly, when he speaks about the wine, the grape, whenever you go and purchase, we won't tell, give us grape. We'll tell, what is the cost of these grapes? Give us these grapes. Though he gives a single bunch, there are lot of grapes, and a whole set of grapes are put together, they're crushed together, to make grape juice, not grapes juice. There again, once the wine is crushed, the individuality of a person's is totally gone. They are mixed together, and all together it becomes a single drink. That's what Jesus was here trying to signify, that even as I and the Father are one, we pray that you may all be one in understanding, in spirit. Okay, now let us read other paragraph. Next paragraph, Romy sister, can you read, sister?
Okay, brother. It is by the giving up of his life as a ransom for all life of the Adamic race, which sin had forfeited, that the right to life's come to men. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Jesus said, blood was the ransom for all, but his act of handing the cup of the disciples and asking them to drink of it was an invitation to them to become partakers of his suffering, or as Paul expresses it, to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. The cup of blessing for which we bless God, it is not a participation of the blood of the anointed one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. We would that all would realize the value of the cup and could bless God for an opportunity of suffering with Christ, that we may be also glorified together. Romans chapter 8, verse 17.
Thank you, sir. So, here, you see, Jesus shed his blood. Blood in the Bible means what? What is the meaning of blood in the Bible? Anybody knows? What does blood signify in the Bible?
Life.
Very good. So, in the book of Genesis, once when Noah came out of the ark, there God gave a command that you may eat all the flesh of this, you see, earth. But you're not going to eat the flesh along with its blood, because the Bible clearly says the life of the animal is in the blood. So, blood actually in the Bible signifies life. So, when Jesus told, "This is my blood which is shed for many," that clearly means that I am giving my life as a ransom for the whole world. But next thing, Jesus immediately tells, "Please drink you all of it." What is the meaning of that one? That means the privilege to partake in the sufferings of Christ, as how he poured out his life for others, the same privilege to sacrifice the life for other people, that was given for the church. You see, hence we read in the Bible, what did Jesus say? You see, Jesus gave a cup and told, "Drink you all of it." What does it mean? There was a set of portion of the sufferings, you see, in the wine, in the cup. That represents the entire suffering which Jesus' disciples has to suffer in the gospel age. And apostles, majorly, they partook of the sufferings. Hence, we read in Colossians 1:24, Apostle Paul said that I gladly suffer for the Christ's sake. Why? So I may fill up, you see, the afflictions which are, you see, left over in Christ. So certain bit of sufferings, they all suffered. Now what has happened? There's still more sufferings that are pending, and that privilege God has been giving to the faithful church. All consecrate, they're given the privilege, you see, to partake of this wine. And moreover, you know, what is the specialty of this wine? You should have observed, when you do grape, you take a grape juice, you see, immediately you leave the grape juice for just few minutes, what will happen? Initially, the complete drink would be, you see, completely mingled, you see, completely mixed. But if you just leave the glass for few minutes, what will happen? The concentrated drink, the, you see, pulp of the grapevine settles down, and in the top, what remains? Just a little bit of dilute water, you see, remains. So what does that signify? That signifies once when the church was initially, you see, started, all the apostles and all, they were partaking of the Christ suffering. So the grape, you see, juice was completely concentrated. But what happened? You see, the church settled down once the apostles and Jesus and all died. So there what happened? During the dark ages, there were not much sufferings for Christ's sake. Only the few people who stood for the truth, they suffered. You see, the great Antichrist system was there. So what happened? You see, the concentrated drink came down. Came down means what? Living at the end of the gospel age, that same sufferings, God has given us the privilege to partake for the brethren who are in Christ. And you see, that concentrated drink is a heavy drink and very, you see, a strong drink. That means there are similar trials which the early church which is suffered in the beginning of the gospel age. The same sufferings, you see, but in a different way. There was a physical suffering, but here it is a mental suffering. There was a physical persecution in the starting of the gospel age, but at the end of the gospel age, there are, you see, mental sufferings. You see, our persecution, you see, temptation, stress, everything is related to our mind. Now, but then during the days of apostles, it was all related to their flesh, physically. Okay. Next paragraph. Next paragraph. Joel, brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. Jesus attaches the significance to the cup elsewhere, indicating that is the cup of sacrifice, the debt of our humanity. For instance, when asked by two disciples a promise of future glory in his throne, he answered them, "You know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of?" Wine is also a symbol of joy and invigoration. So we will share Jesus' glories, honor, and immortality when we drink it new with him in the kingdom.
Continue, continue, brother. Continue the paragraph also.
Let us then, dearly beloved, as we surround the table of commemorated our Lord's death, call to mind the meaning of what we do and see to it what we feed on him, and when strengthened by the living bread, let us drink with him into his death. For if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Thank you, brother. So here, as we studied, you see, the cup represents the sufferings of Christ. So that privilege, you see, God has given us. Why? If we share and partake of his sufferings, the privilege is that we can also rule with Christ. So the condition is that if we need to rule with Christ, we need to first of all partake in his sufferings. Why partake in his sufferings? Why? That is very, very important. If you see, that is to show our faithfulness to the Lord. Our Lord was tested severely. Why was he tested severely? God wanted to see if he would remain faithful until death. It is the same test for us. You see, we all will tell that we will do this, we will do that, we will sacrifice, we will bear everything. But when practically comes to the test, many of us fail. So, dear brethren, so this is like a test for us. If you really love the Lord, we should be ready to, you see, suffer for him. Why? If we suffer for him, then we are going to reign with Christ for a 1,000 years. To reign with Christ for 1,000 years, you see, this suffering is very, very important. It prepares us, you see, it molds us, you see, it develops us into Christ-likeness, you see. So, hence, the next paragraph says, the feeding on the living bread is very important. If you want to sacrifice, if you want to suffer for Christ's sake, if you want to be faithful to him, you see, partaking of his bread, getting the sufficient of energy, strength, you see, from Christ, from the word of God, is very, very important. Okay, next paragraph, who may commune? Munna sister, can you read, sister?
Okay, brother. Every member of Christ, even one alone with the Master, may commemorate, but so far as possible, all members of the one loaf should meet together. Ceremonians, formality would be out of the place, but let all things be done decently and in order.
Very good. See, here, who may commute? That means, who can participate in this one? Who can do this one? Here, Brother Russell says, you see, even if there is nobody along with you, even if you're just alone, you can still do it. Dear brethren, you see, There are many incidents, you see, in the world that many of the brethren, they were left isolated, somewhere even jailed because of their faithfulness for the truth. And even when nobody was there with them, you see, they all partook alone. In fact, you know, in Karnataka, you see, in our place, so there was a brother, you see, who came to the truth. He sacrificed his life, he consecrated his life, and there was no one, you see, even his family did not support him. But yet, he was the only person who partake of this one. There's another one, there's one more family in North Karnataka. You see, just husband and wife, without even anybody, you see, supporting them, they also partake individually. So, that can be done, you see, as long as the situation is like that. But, there's a better suggestion that, you see, if the brethren are able to gather together, they will be no much better than that thing. You see, always it is good that we partake of this one along with the many brethren. You see, forgetting about so many ceremonies, all these things and all. But the order should be in a systematic way. You see, very disciplined way, where it brings reverence in us. You see, and God-fearness, you see, develops in us. So this has to be done in that particular way, where brethren have been gathered. And moreover, you remember the rule of the law of the Passover, that they can't do the Passover whichever place they want. God had particularly selected a few places. The people of Israel had to gather at that place only and celebrate the Passover. They can't do whichever place they want. Hence, you see, remember when Jesus died, you see, that was during the Passover time. Many people from all over the world had gathered to Jerusalem. Why? Because that was the God's appointed place. Okay. Next paragraph. Munasta, you can read one more paragraph.
Okay, brother. Another thought, while it is proper that we should thus commemorate our Passover or its anniversary, yet it should not be forgotten that is in a since we eat and drink and have this scared fellowship with our Lord every day and every hour. The night in which Israel ate of their Passover lamb with bitter herbs typified the entire gospel age and their deliverance from Egypt followed in the morning. So with us, we ate of our lamb with the bitter trials and affliction of evil in the present age. But joy cometh in the morning, our deliverance from earth and the dominion and oppression of evil. The morning already is dawning. Let us hasten the more to fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. Colossians 1:24.
Thank you, sir. See, we all know very well that this Lord's memorial has to be commemorated yearly once. So, yearly once, we need to remember the Lord's death. Then, does it mean that yearly once only we should suffer for Christ, not every day? No. You see, the sufferings for Christ, you see, the partaking in his death, that is a daily process. Read 1 Corinthians 4 chapter, verse 13. First Corinthians 4:13, please.
1 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day.
Unto this day, offscouring, we consider the filth of this world. That is the suffering. See, one more verse. 2 Corinthians, brother, 4th chapter, verse 9 and 10. Verse 8, 9, 10.
2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 8, 9, 10. Right, brother?
Yeah, 8 to 11, please.
Okay, brother. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
You see, always bearing about in the body the dying of Lord Jesus Christ. Always, this, you see, bearing the cross, this partaking of Christ's sufferings, it should be a daily process for a new creature. Oh, see, in the book of Gospel, it says, no, he that doesn't deny himself, carry the cross and follow me, can be my disciple. In one of the Gospel, it says, he that doesn't deny himself, carry the cross daily. So the cross should be taken daily. On daily basis, you see, this suffering should be. Though, you see, the yearly commemoration, the remembrance of the Lord's death is yearly once, but we partaking in it should be a daily matter. Okay, next paragraph. Gopal brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. The Apostle Paul seems to enforce the ideas we have just presented relative to the meaning of this ordinance and shows the necessity of a proper appreciation of its meanings. He warns, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 to 30, diglot, that whoever may eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily will be an offender against the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and thus, with an understanding and appreciation of its significance, let him eat of the bread and let him drink of the cup. For he eats and drinks judgment, condemnation to himself, who eats and drinks not discriminating, appreciating the Lord's body. Through this lack of proper appreciation of the true import that it signifies our sharing in the sufferings and death of Christ, for this reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, we read this one in the basic class, but again, we recollect 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 27 to 30, it says, whosoever, you see, eats this bread and drinks this cup unworthily, you see, drinks damnation to himself. So the verse next clearly says, let every man examine himself, whether he is worthy or not. You see, so what is this examination of ourselves? Should we check ourselves whether we have sin in us? No. You see, if we question ourselves whether we have sin or not, the answer is that yes, we have sin. We are still sinners. Until the day of death, we are sinners. Hence, we need Christ as our Savior, as our advocate till our death. You see, then what is that we should examine? We should examine and see whether I'm able to understand clearly what is the meaning, what is the significance of the bread. What is the real understanding? What is the real meaning of that bread? And what is the real meaning of that cup? The bread signifies the life which Jesus gave to me and the privilege to, you see, eat that part of the ransom which is given for me. And after accepting Jesus as the ransom sacrifice, immediately, you see, to dive into sufferings, immediately agree to partake in his sufferings. That is the meaning of drinking the wine. Hence, we are taking first the bread, then the wine. Not the first the wine, then the bread. You see, because, you see, after accepting Jesus, we need to suffer for Christ's sake. You see, read Timothy. 1 minute. First Timothy. There's one verse which says God has appointed us, you see, to believe, not only to believe, to suffer with Christ. Anybody knows that one? One minute. Okay. Philippians 1:29, correct. Philippians 1:29. Can somebody read? Munaster or Joel brother? Philippians 1:29.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only believe on him but also to suffer for his sake.
You see, not only to believe but to suffer for his sake. Not only eat the bread but to drink the wine. Okay. Now last paragraph. Gopal brother, you can complete it.
Okay, brother. The truth of Paul's remarks we can each bear witness to. Many in the church, not only of the nominal church, but many members of the true church, whose names are written in heaven, are weak and sickly, and many have gone asleep entirely, become dead to spiritual things, and as dead branches are cut off from the vine, the overcoming church, John 15, chapter verse 2. If then we would become strong and full of spiritual vigor and not sleep as do others, when we annually ratify our covenant, let us examine ourselves, and thus let us partake of the sufferings and the emblems, that in due time we may partake of his glory also.
Okay. So here, you see, brother gives explanation of that verse where it says many are weak, many are sick, and many are dead. What does it mean? If we don't really understand and appreciate the meaning and partake it, really would we become sick? Really, would somebody die? This is not speaking about a literal sickness, you see, death. But this is speaking about the spiritual. If somebody is not able to grasp the understanding, you see, of the meaning of the bread and the wine, simply just coming and partaking of it, it is really of no spiritual use to them at all. Those people won't be there for many time. So they would be soon, you see, cut off as branches. You see, Jesus said, no, John 15 chapter, I am the vine and you are the branches. And Father is the husbandman. You see, so if any branch is there that brings a fruit, what will happen? You see, that will remain in the branch. If any doesn't bring any fruit, that branch will be cut off. So who can bring the fruit? One who is there in Christ, attached to Christ, only he can give that complete fruit. Okay, so with this meaning, so let us all, you see, partake of the Lord's memorial on the Friday. God willing, we'll meet together and we'll all partake it in a, you see, holy manner and a proper spirit. May God bless these words. Anybody has got any doubts, any questions, they can ask. Any doubts, Romy, sister, Amma, brother?
No, brother.
Okay. Joel, brother, Munna, sister?
No, brother.
Okay. Gopra, brother?
No, brother. Thank you.